The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Sukkah has been dedicated by Celia and Isaac Jamal, Hashem Alehem Yehyu Amen, for the Hatzlecha of their dear children. May they see much nachat from all of them. May they all grow up and get married in the right time and have children healthily, happily, with beracha v'atzlacha. And may they see descendants and descendants of their descendants. Ad bi'ad goel sedek. Amen. The Masechet has also been dedicated La'ilu Nishmat Sarah Bat Adel Ruach Hashem Tanihena Began Eden. Amen. Again by Celia and Isaac Jamal. Tisku L'mitzvot. Daf Chaf Aleph.
Today's Daf has been dedicated by Benyamin Ben Shoshana for the Refuah Shlema of Shlomo Ben Shoshana.
Today's daf is being studied by the Nishmat Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihena began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied by the Nishmat Hamiruhemet Shinaftarit Vikatsuli Amin Vishanim Meduket Beyisurin Mazal Bat Frida. Ruach Hashem Tanihena began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied by Refuah Shlema Moren Verabenu Hacham Abadia Yosef Ben Gurjia. Enna Refanado, Enna Refanado, Enna Refanado, Betoch Shar Hodeamo Israel. Amen. We begin today's daf on daf Chaf, Amud Rishon, and Amud Sheni, and we are going to start 6 lines from the bottom. Again, we are discussing the case in the Mishnah, Yashen Tachat Amita B'Sukkah, that somebody that was sleeping under the bed in the Sukkah, so the Tanakama said, Lo Yatzai Yedei Chovato. Doesn't count, because the bed is considered a Hefsek. And the Gemara on yesterday's daf said it's talking about a bed that is 10 tefachim high. If you look in your picture books, which would be the Ahod Ve'Adar version, picture Aleph, starting in the second perek, you see the bed is 10 tefachim high, so it has a roof underneath the 10 tefachim. So that's going to be considered a hefsek for those that are sleeping underneath it. However, the Biyuda said no. The Biyuda's logic will be explained in the Gemara that he's going to say that the Sukkah is considered an oil keva, a permanent structure, the Biyuda Lashita, that's the Biyuda's opinion, and the bed is considered a temporary structure, and he's going to say that a temporary oil does not mevatel a oil keva. And that's what he's going to say, you can sleep underneath. So now the Gemara is going to discuss different laws of oil in regard to the laws of Tum'ah. Just to review very quickly, we know that if you have an oil and you have a mit, or kezayit ben a mit, underneath the oil, everything under that oil is going to become tameh. That's the law of tum'at oil. And the Gemara now is going to elaborate on some of the laws. Tanana tam, we learned over there, that's a Mishnah in Aholot. Echad chor, which means, if let's say you have a hole under the ground, shehararuhu mayim, which means, let's say water burrowed a hole, you know, flowing underneath the ground, and if we have a hole of a tefach, well, we don't have the, yeah, we do have it, echad chor shehararuhu mayim, which means, okay, showing you over here a case where you have, let's say, a cliff over the water, okay, and the water over the years, it just, you know, rubbed against the rocks and penetrated and made a halal tefach, let's say from the rock's roof now to the floor, or to the water was underneath it. So that's the case of a roof of a tefach that was made by water. Or shiratzim, or the case would be shiratzim. If you look at picture Gimal, you see you had a piece of earth over there, and the animals, right? They came in and they burrowed a hole again through the earth over there, and they made a roof of a tefah. Uh-huh. The next case was, or she'achalato malachat. Or let's say, that's picture Dalid, let's say the salt of the ground also made a hole through the earth, and therefore caused it to have, let's say, a roof of a tefah. Okay, it was either eaten away by salt. Vechen midbach avanim. Midbach avanim is picture here. We had, let's say, a pile of cinder blocks, and all of a sudden one of them got dislodged, causing a space. Now, from above it, from the rock above it to the rock beneath it, you had a space of at least a tefah. Vechen sevar shel korot. Same situation, except you have a pile of wood. Okay, and therefore the wood blocks also shifted, and therefore it caused to have an airspace. We have a tefah area over there. So all these, the bottom line, the common denominator in all these cases is you have a situation that you have a tefah area now being roofed. So the Mishnah says, ma'ahil ala tum'ah. It's going to be considered an oil for tum'ah, meaning if you have, let's say, a tum'at mit underneath that roof, and something next to it, that something next to it will become tameh, because it's all considered under the same roof. Okay, it's under the same oil. Now, the hadush over here is, even though this roof was not made with kavanah to be an oil, nor was it made al yedei adam. Especially these first cases over here, they just happened either by the water or the animals, etc., or the salt. So the point is, these items over here are just naturally made ohalim, not for the purpose of oil, and still Tanna Kamma says an oil is an oil, and therefore it's going to bring the tum'ah to anything that is underneath it. Okay, the Yehuda omer, kod oil she'eno asui bidei adam. Any oil that was not man-made and also made for the purpose of being ma'ahil, eno oil. It's not a din le'anyan tum'ah. Now let's read the sheets quickly over here. Tananatam. Ba'olot kachashiv et ha'bevi'im tum'ah. Now let's list us the different items that bring tum'ah. Shehararu ha'mayim kegon besafag givuha la'nahar. You have a cliff over the water, and the water goes through and causes a long hole. Or should that seem called holdot? Holdot, holdot would be like a weasel. The ishut, that's also a type of
rat,
yeah, groundhog or something like that. Or she'achalato malachat, she'ares meliha. This ground is salty, umitpakat meyadan, causes it to crack. You have like a pile of rocks on top of each other. The rocks shift a little, and therefore causes a airspace. Those are planks of wood that are piled up. Right? And they're standing for construction. There's a lot of space in between. You can't actually put them all flush against each other. If there's a met on one side, and there's a keli next to it, the keli is going to become tameh. Because bottom line, they're under the same roof, and the roof brings the tum'ah to both of them. Bidei adam, mitkaven la'asot oil. The Yehuda says, unless it was done by a human being that was mitkaven to make an oil, eno oil. It's not an oil for tum'ah. So comes the Gemara and says, my ta'amad Rabbi Yehuda, what's the reason of Rabbi Yehuda? Yalif oil, oil the Mishkan. He has a gezerah shava, oil from Mishkan. Ketivach, it says over here, by tumat oil, and sefer bamidbar, zot ha-Torah, Adam ki yamut ba-oil. That's the source pasuk that we learn, tumat oil. This is the Torah of the person that dies in the oil, kol ha-ba ba-oil, v'kol ha-sher ba-oil yitma. Anything that's in the oil is going to become tameh. But it says also by the Mishkan, uchti batam v'yifros et ha-oil ala Mishkan. It says, and Moshe Rabbeinu took the oil, the covering, and he draped the Mishkan, right? The tabernacle. Now, he basically gives it a shava. It says oil, oil. Ma la'alam bidei adam. Just like the Mishkan, the oil was done by Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu placed the oil on the Mishkan. Afkan bidei adam. So too, for an oil to be considered an oil enyan tum'ah, it has to be done by bnei adam. So that's the opinion of the Bidei. It's actually a gezerah shavah. So the Gemara says, v'rabbanan. Hey, what do the rabbis do? What do they do with this gezerah shavah? And it seems it was understood that they used this gezerah shavah for other things. So therefore the Chavra, you know, how come you don't include this gezerah shavah to teach us that it has to be done by man? V'rabbanan, oil riba. If you look at the pasuk in Bamidbar, when it talks about tum'at oil, it says the word oil many times in that pasuk. It says, "Zot haTorah Adam ki yamut be'oil, kol haba ba'oil, v'kol asher ba'oil, yitma shivat shamim." So since it says oil many times, it's coming to include not only the oil that's done by the Adam, but even oil that's done naturally. So that's really the source mahloket between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan, a very vital mahlokah to remember. The mahlokah, exactly, how do you know that an oil either needs to be made with kavana for an oil, to have the din of an oil, or can it be done by itself? Source, the Gezra Sheva by Mishkan. Now comes the Gemara and says, the Savar of Yehuda, kol oil she'enu asui bidei adam, in oil, hold it. Do you tell me that Rabbi Yehuda holds that any oil that was not made for the sake of an oil, you tell me that it's not considered an oil? Impossible. Urminu, we have a contradiction from a Mishnah in Para Aduma. Now let's just review outside some of the laws of Para Aduma. Para Aduma had a lot of stringencies that the rabbi imposed on it, as we're going to see now. One of the reasons why the rabbis imposed these stringencies was because of a leniency that they imposed. And in order to compensate or to neutralize the leniency of the Para Aduma, they had to go and put stringencies. What was the leniency? According to the Torah law, the halakha says that a tevul yom, I mean somebody that is tameh, went to the mikveh but did not yet pass through Ha'edef Shemesh, Cheshekuch Sittekuch Havim, a tevul yom is able to be the one that sprinkles the Para Aduma, the waters of the Para Aduma on a mit. Now, that's a big kula, but that's a Torah's kula. Now, the Tzedukim argued on that. The Tzedukim said, no. The Asaf Ish Tahor, he has to be Tahor, the Gamli, he has to wait until the Erev Shemesh. So what the rabbis did, just to show that the Tzedukim were wrong, they would on purpose mitameh somebody, make him a tebul yom, and that's dafka, the guy they used for the sprinkling of the paradum. Lehotzim liban shel Tzedukim. But because of that kvuda, they didn't want the people to think that paradumah is lenient or you know, not stringent. So what they did is, and a lot of other things, they overcompensated and did a lot of humrot to show everybody that it really is a serious thing. So now this Mishnah is going to discuss some of those humrot that were instituted. Tananatam, what would mean? I'm sorry, we learned that we have a contradiction. Haserot hayu binuyot birushalayim al gabei asela. They used to make built special courtyards in Jerusalem, and they built these courtyards over rock bed. Now the reason why they built these hatzarot over the rocks, because they assumed that nobody was buried under the rock bed. But just in case somebody was, the Mishnah says, v'tahtehem halal. Mm-hmm. They would leave a tefa from the foundation of the hased until the rock bed, just in case if there was tumah under the rock, a rock, mepeneh kever ateom. Kever Atom is a kever that's buried under the ground, deep in the ground. So we're worried if you're not going to have a tefah, so the tumah is retzutza. The tumah just shoots out. So therefore, if you look in your picture, look to the picture Zion, you see these special hatzarot that were built. One tefah above rock bed. So for sure, anybody that was living in that hatzir, as long as they never left the Hatzer, you're not going to get Tameh Met in that Hatzer. They built it in a certain way where you're guaranteed the Tumah is going to remain where it is. Now, they would bring pregnant ladies to those Hatzerot, the Yoldot Sham, and they would have them give birth to their children over there, Umgadelot Binehem Sham. And their children would be raised over there in that Hatzer. So these children were never exposed to any Tum'ah lepara, in order that they should be the ones that are going to draw the water for the Para Aduma. You got to get the water. You got to go to Magana Shiloh. It's a special spring. So they would. These are the children that they would use to get the waters for the from birth. Already they were prepared. It's not finished. Umibim shivarim. Now how are they going to get them from the Hatzer to the Magana Shiloh? Now there's a chance it's going to be tumah. So they bring oxen to the Hatzer. The algabein delatot. And over the oxen they would put like doors. And if you look in your picture books, you'll see in Chet, okay, you see like a plank, a board that sat over the back of the shore. Now, what's the purpose of that? That serves as an oil, which means that even if there's tum'ah underneath, the tum'ah will just remain underneath the shore, and the child is on top. And since it's an oil, the tum'ah cannot affect the child, okay? V'tinokot yoshvin al gabein, and the children would sit on the door itself, on the plank itself. So again, there are all these stringencies to make sure that the kid does not become tameh. V'chosot shel even bidehem. Now, the cups that they used to use was stone. Why? Because stoneware is not mekabel tum'ah. So therefore, that is special keli, right? And we continue. Kigiu leshiluah. Now, when they got to Mayan Shiloah, when they got to the spring of the water, yardu the tuchamaim umilum. Here they had no choice. This opinion holds that you have no choice but to get off the donkey and go down to the water and draw. Otherwise, you'd say, why don't you just take a string and, you know, lower it down and bring it up. This first opinion holds you're not allowed to do that. You have to actually go and draw the water itself, and you could be mahmir as much as you can until a certain point, and you're not going to choshesh that for a little area over there, this kevet at tehom, that the child is going to become tameh. So he would go down to the water and fill it. And then ve'alu v'yeshvulayim, and then they would come back up and sit on the doors again in order to not become tamir. So that's the first opinion. Rabbi Yosef Omer, Memekomo Hayam Mishalchel Umimale, Mepeneh Kever HaTehom. Rabbi Yosef says no. From his place, he would sit on the shore with a string attached to the keli, lower it down and draw it up. If you look in your picture books, you see that in number Yod. Mm-hmm. Right? They're sitting on the keli because you still got to suspect to Kever HaTehom even to that. To that extent, Betanya, we learned in a braita, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lo ayu mivim delatot. He says, nah, they didn't bring delatot to cover the back of the shore, ela shevarim. They brought oxen that were very fat, and they were very wide. And therefore, what did you gain? The fatness or the width of the shevarim themselves would be like the ohel over the tumah, which means the child is on top, right? And you have the wide shevarim and the keres, right? Their stomach is mafsik, which means the under the stomach, if the tumah comes, it'll mafsik mishum the tumah. Okay, so understanding what the Yehuda holds, you didn't have to. How did you interpose between the tumah?
You didn't need
a plank. You use the animal itself. The animal's a big, wide animal underneath its stomach. Now it's oil. Nice. So whatever tumah is there, it'll go underneath the animal's body. So comes the Gemara and says,
specific measurement that you need for that.
Oh, so the tefa. You just need a tefa in order for tumah to not be the tzutzah.
The height.
Correct. From the under the animal's width under to the ground, it was a tefa from its stomach to the ground. Therefore, you had a thing. So the Gemara says, hold it. So the Yehuda, you're holding that the stomach of the shevarim is serving an oil. Hold it. Shevarim de oil she'eno asui bide adamu. Ve'katani the Yehuda med lo ayu mevim delatot el shevarim. Hey, the Yehuda, you just taught us in the laws of tumah that any roof that was not made, any oil that was not made for the purpose of an oil, it just happened naturally. Right. It doesn't serve as an oil. Nafkamina, if you have tumah in there, it's not going to be considered metal. So how come over here then? Over here you tell me what? Lenyan, the animal's stomach is considered an oil, which is the tumah is not going to go through. Even though the charaik and mechalek, it's really two different situations of tumah. One is lehavi et tumah, meaning when you have tumah underneath it, to metameh what's next to it. This is really to be chotzetz bifnei tumah. It could be it's a little different dynamics, but the Gemara is assuming at this point it's all the same, and therefore lechaora, if it's an oil for this, it should be an oil for that. So to that, the Gemara says, "Ki atar avdimi." When the avdimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, Amar Rabbi Elazar Moder Rabbi Yehuda Kimlo Igrof. So he comes along, gives a big hadush. He says, "Listen, it depends how much space you have in the oil. If you have only a tefach on a natural oil, you're right." Then Rabbi Yehuda sticks to his opinion and says it's not considered an oil. But if you have more than a tefa, an egrof is like a big fist, which is more than a tefa. So if you have more than a tefa, so now we're ready, even he'll agree, even if it was not man-made, even if it was done by itself, it's going to be an oil. And the assumption is by this shevarim that they had, underneath the animal is more than a tefa, it's an egrof, and therefore you have no problem. So he's giving you haluk. There's a chiluk between tefa and igrof. Okay, that's the interpretation, and therefore that's the way they answer it. Okay, now let's look at the Rashi kimlo igrof. Actually, we'll just quickly read the Rashi's from the top. Oil liba. Okay, that's the Tanakama's opinion. Ohalim tuva kitim parashat paral rabot afa asui me'elav. Okay, so the rabbis learned oil says many times in the parasha to teach us that what? That even oils that were not made by Adam are going to be considered oils for tumah. Mipnei kevrat tehom, kol shem kevrat tehom v'tumat tehom shebeshas. When we say the word kevrat tehom, anytime you see that terminology in Shas, she says dashon sefeku, which means we don't know if there's any tumah there, but it says ketom. It's like the tehom. It's like the depth she'eno galui. That you don't know, I mean, the depths are not revealed. So to kevet atum is a kevet that's not revealed. I mean, you really don't know if it's there or not. Mepenei kevet atum shekol ha'ayin ayu mesupakim shema yesh sham kevet ve'en lo lemet halal tefach. And maybe there's not going to be a halal tefach from the met to the hatzer. V'tum'ah shi retzutzah, and if it's retzutzah, meaning it breaks through, bo'ka'at ve'olel rakia. Lachen ayu bonin ota al gabe kipin. They would build it on, let's say, we call them kipin, let's say planks. They would build the hatzerot, elevate it a little. Why? In order to make a tefah. Shafidu yesham kever mitarat ale halal mafsik. Even if there was a kever over there, so it is going to be mafsik. Mevi'im nashim ubarot. Mishum ha'ad etnan. Metame'in ayu et ha'kohen ha'sonef et ha'para. Because they would metame'in the kohen ha'sonef et ha'para. Matbilin oto miyad le'otzim midiban shem. Tzedukin chayu omrim. Bema'arubi ha'shemesh ha'itan na'asi. This has to be done dafka. Be'arif shemesh. Ve'chevan detbul yom kasher be'para. Asuba ma'alot harbe. Kedesh shelo yizalzelu ba. Right, so the people will not become lenient, so they did a lot of stringencies. Teknu kol ma'aseh para b'chli galalim. Like we learned, that was called dungware they used. V'chli avanim, or stoneware. U'chli adama, or adama was from earth. She'en mekabalim, it's not earthware like chli heres, but right, earthware, mamash, earthware. She'en mekabalim tum'ah, v'kohen ha'sorfa, hizkikua lefishat shifat yamim. If you remember also, we learned in Masechet Yoma that the Kohen that was in charge of burning the effort up of the Parah Adamah, they would sequester him for 7 days before the Ene Habakonim Nogimbo. Right? And the Kohen, you're not even allowed to touch him. Kedamim Perikam Adi Yoma. V'amar Mo Mazin Alav Kol Shiva. And they would also sprinkle on this sequestered Kohen 7 days just in case he had Tumat Met. And we don't know exactly which day he's holding, so therefore they would sprinkle him 7 days. Now, v'teknu sheyu tinokot alalu memalin lomayim lekadesh b'hem mehatat, and they would establish that these children that were born in these hatzerot, they were the ones that would fill up the water for the kohen. U'mishum ma'alat teknu sheyu teorim mikol tum'ah. Which means they would only use kids up to 7 or 8 years old. Because after 8 years old already, the children already are able to have a seminal discharge. And therefore they might not have tum'ah of met, but have the tum'ah of themselves. So therefore the maximum age that they would use these tahur kids from the hatzerot were between 7 and 8. It's not normal the derech for a 7 or 8 year old child to have a seminal discharge. After that already, it's common, so therefore they didn't use them for the keri reason. When they wanted to draw the water from the Shiloh, they would bring oxen. Like Rashi explained, this opinion says you got to actually do milui, and not with the rope. מפנה קבר התהום שמה יש כאן תומה אלא שברים שכנסם לחוות that had wide stomachs, right, bellies, ותינוקות יושבים עליהם וכנסם מפסיק שנה תינוקות מהילן על הארץ, right, the תינוקות are not going to מהיל on the ground. כמה מפרש תאמה עמי לא היו מביאים דלתות. The Kabbalah was explained, what was the problem with the doors, which means why not bring the doors, what's the reason why the Biyuda opted for the Shivarim. Alma, but what do you learn from here? Hashmi'ina de Biyuda de Shedratan Shel Shivarim, the shed, the Shedra, like the spinal column of the Shivarim, Sheiki and Gag, that's like a roof. The Halal Shel Behema, and then you have the Halal of the Behema, that's the, you know, underneath the animals. Huwa Oil and Mafsik, which means inside the animal, you have the Shedra. Right, the spinal come, that's like the roof, okay, on top, and then you have underneath the spinal come in the animal's belly itself, you have the body itself is a halal, and therefore, if anything, the tum'ah, even if the stomach goes to the ground, the point is, in the let's say the stomach goes to the ground, the animal itself is mafsik, meaning the shidra is like a roof, the tum'ah goes up, it will hit the shidra, and therefore cannot penetrate and go up to the child. So what she's learning over here? The shidratan shel shevarim sheikain gag b'halal shel beema hu ha'oel ha'mafsik v'afagav de'enu asui b'di adam. Even though it was not done by b'di adam. So the next Rashi, kimlo egrof. Oel shirahav kimlo egrof shu yot metefak moder b'yudah shaf. Api she'enu asui b'di adam, hashuv the yot oel. Demlo egrof matzinu hashuv lema'or she'enu asui b'di adam. Kedam ba'alot. Okay, Rashi brings you a Mishnah Masechet Aholot where you see the concept of egrof brings tumah. Okay, so that's what we're holding until this point. So comes the Gemara and says, Tanya Namecha, we have a braita to support what we just learned. Omode Rabbi Yehuda b'shkifin ubinkike asilaim. Now what is shkifin? Those are rocks that were, let's say, uprooted from their place, and they fall because, let's say, the wind, and they cause a hollowness in the place where they were uprooted. They're showing you the picture in Yud Bey, you have a big rock, let's say, right? So part of the rock was dislodged. That's an aleph. You see, the rock was dislodged, and it causes, like, it's like an area of a halal, of an airspace, like a crater. Or nikikea silaim, that's bit. That's like, yeah, just like a crevice in the rock itself that also has a halal. So it says the Biuda agrees when it comes to these crevices over here that even though it was not made man-made, right, even though it was done naturally, that what, since its hole is more than an igrof, it'll bring tumah. So then we have a bright actually to support this igrof chiluk. Okay? Comes again and says, what do you mean? Vehare delet deyesh ba kama igrofim. Let's analyze. The delet, the door that was on the back of the shor, right? From the bottom of the door to the floor, it's more than a tefah. You have many igrofim. Veketani, but what did it say? Rabbi Yehuda amir lo ayu mivim delatot ela shevarim. But you see, Rabbi Yehuda went out of his way to say, don't bring doors. What are you talking about? Why shouldn't you bring doors? According to Rabbi Yehuda, if you have the igrof, even though it's not done for the purpose of, let's say, of an oil, even if it was not done for the purpose of an oil, yeah. So the chaura, once you have an igrof, it's okay. So therefore, the chaura, what would be the problem, according to Rabbi Yehuda, bring these delatot? Ela, what do you have to say? The reason why he said you don't bring the delatot is because these delatot are not considered a normal oil. It's not considered, let's say, a normal situation. The Gemara said above that what? They would put these doors over here. Now we're assuming at this point that she says that the reason why the Biuda said that you cannot use the doors is because it's not the derech to be mahil bekach. That's not the normal way to make an oil. And that's why the doors are no good. And therefore, the chaura, if that's the reason, then shevarim are also not the derech to make an oil with that. So therefore, it's got nothing to do with egrofim. Which is, you want to tell me, oh, you know what, the shevarim is okay? Shevarim is okay because you got the egrofim. And therefore, even though it wasn't man-made, but you got the airspace of the egrofim, so you're fine. Hold it. Doors, you also have egrofim. Right? And still, the Biuda said, you can't use it. Ela, that must not be the reason. The egrofim is not the issue of it. What's the issue? Is it the derech or not the derech? So therefore, once you tell me that a door is not the derech, that's why it's not considered sure good. Not so an animal for sure is not the derech. So therefore, we want to understand what the Biuda's opinion is. So comes again what it says, Amar Abaye, lo tzrichu lavi delatot. Which means you didn't have to bring delatot. Which means to bring doors is a hassle. Why do you have to bring doors if you have a built-in oil? That's what he was saying. You want to bring doors? Bring doors. Which means, bottom line, so long as you have an igrof separating between the place over there, it'll be considered, even if it's not a normal oil, doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be a normal oil. But the point is you have the igrof, so that's the opinion of Abaye. So let's read that. No, we're good. We're up to this. That's Abaye's opinion. Lo tzrichu lavi delatot, because the stomach of the animal itself will serve as a hatitza for the tumah. Okay. Rava Amar, Rava comes along. Okay, that's incidentally the picture to see it. That's right. Yud Gimel. You see the wide bellied short in Yud Gimel. We see how it's going to interpose because of the tumah. Okay. In any event, comes the Gemara and says, "Hold it, Rava Amar, lo ayu mivim delatot kol ikar." Rava says they did not bring delatot at all. Why? not because the derech would not serve as an oil. For sure, even though it's not the normal derech of an oil, since it has egrofim, it would have been fine. So why didn't the Yehuda allow you to bring delatot? Different reason. Because when the kid is sitting on the door, he becomes a little haughty. He becomes a little, wild. We're worried that he might stick one of his body parts underneath the door, beyond the door. He's playing around on the door. And therefore, he's going to stick a body part outside. What's going to happen? And then he's going to have a problem with kevirat teom. So therefore, really, a door is no different than the animal. It might not be the derech, but so what? Since you have a grof, it's going to interpose between the tumah. Oh, so Rabbi Yehuda, how come you didn't allow it? I didn't allow it for another reason. Because when the kid's sitting on the door, he tends to be a little more free. And therefore, he might stick his hand out and from underneath or something like that. And therefore, it's going to cause himself to become tamim mashenk. And when he's sitting on the animal itself, so he's not going to fool around. Tanya came at the, we have a bride to support Rava. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lo ayu mevi'im delatot kol ikar. They would not bring the doors, according to Rabbi Yehuda, at all. Why? Because when the child sits on it, he has a, it becomes like a holiness, a wildness. Shemi yotzi rosho echad mebarav, worried that he might stick his head out of one of his limbs. V'yitma bekevirat teom. Ela mevi'im shivarim ha-mislim. They would bring the Egyptian shivarim, shekirosotehem lechavot, that they had the wide stomachs. V'atinukot yoshiv agabehen. V'chosot shel even bidehem, had the stoneware in their hands. Egiu l'shiloah, when they got to the river, yardu, they came down, umilum, they filled up the kosot, v'alu v'yashvu lehem agabehen, and they came back up and sat on the animal's back. So therefore, it comes out according to what we're saying over here. Bottom line, an oil, according to Yehuda, that's not made by the Adam for the purpose of oil, in a chenami is not going to be an oil unless it has an egrof. That is the issue. And that's been the truth of Abayir, been the truth of Rava, which means both of them agree to that concept. They just argue exactly why didn't they bring doors. One opinion says you don't bring doors. Why? Rava says you don't bring doors because the kid's going to be wild. Abaye says, no, you can bring doors. Bring doors. It's not because the kid's going to be wild. And therefore, it'll interpose just like the animal's stomach. The Hadush of the Rabbi Yehuda is you don't have to bring the doors. Also, comes that Gemara now and starts to ask from our Mishnah. Vehare mita. Now, what do we say in our Mishnah? The Rabbi Yehuda says if a guy sleeps under the bed in the sukkah, he's okay. Which means the bed does not serve as an interference. Now, hold it. In economy, the bed was not made for oil purposes. We agree. But bottom line, it's got the egrofim. Yeah. Once already have more than an egrof, so that becomes an oil. So the chavara, you're sleeping under now a bed. How could the Yehuda say, if you sleep under the bed, it's considered like you're sleeping under the sukkah? So the Gemara is, V'are mitad yesh bar kama egrofim. Hutnan, the Yehuda omer, noagim ayinu shenu yeshenim ta'atam mitad b'fnei hazekenim. We used to sleep under the bed in front of the hakamim. And what? The rabbis did not protest. And what's the logic over there? Because he's going to say what? That the oil over there is considered oil arai. Right, the bed that they were sleeping on is considered a temporary structure. Therefore, if a person sleeps underneath it, it's not going to be an interposition. Therefore, it's considered like sleeping in the sukkah. So hold it. According to what we're just learning over here, I don't care. Bottom line, if you have more than a egrof underneath, I don't care if it's not made for oil, I don't care if it's not made for that intention, etc. Bottom line, it's going to be a an oil. So then with the chavara, how do they answer this? How is he Yotzi in the Chovat Sukkah? So comes the Gemara and says, Shani Mita, a bed is different. Ho'il ulgaba asuya. The bed is made for sleeping on top. And therefore, when you sleep on the bottom, underneath, I don't care if you have a lot of egrofim over there. It's got to be made for usage like that. And since it wasn't made to use like that, it's not going to be considered an oil. So again, the Gemara's answer is Shani Mita, that the bed is different. It's not called an oil at all, even what's underneath it. Why? Because it's not used for that. So the Gemara says Shevarim Nameh Legaban Asuyim. What are you talking about? The Shevarim themselves, the oxen themselves, what do they use it for? The top. You use the bottom, the animal's bottom is used as an oil? Of course not. So therefore, what are you telling me over here that it's not considered an oil if it's primarily used on top? Well, the shevarim is primarily used for sitting on it, not for the bottom of it. So the Gemara says, no, the Gemara explains like this. Ki ata Ravin, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Shani Shevarim, Hoil u'meghinim al haro'im b'chama mipnei hachama u'begeshamim mipnei hageshamim. Which means, yes, the animal does serve a purpose as an oil. It protects the shepherds in the sun from the sun and the rain from the rains. Which means, yeah, they go underneath. They hide underneath the animal's belly in order to protect themselves. So it is a purpose of an oil. So therefore, as long as you have your igrof, you're going to be okay. Mashenk in the bed, you don't use the underneath of the bed for anything. So the Gemara, that's not so. Doesn't the person put his shoes under his bed? Which means before he goes to sleep, he puts his shoes under his bed, and them under his bed, and it protects it. So therefore, once you tell me already that you can rely on the ro'im that benefit from lying underneath the animal, that's an oil. So therefore, the chaura is the same thing is going to be by the bed, right? So the Gemara says, "Ela marava." So the Gemara is trying to find the difference between why shivarim is an oil and mita is not an oil, right? That's the Gemara's point right now. What's the hiduk? So the Gemara says, "Ela marava shani shivarim hoil va'asuim nagin al bene me'ayim shelahem." He says no. He says this shivarim, the stomach of the shivarim, or I should say the shidra, the spine and all the ribs and all that, it's an oil. It's made specifically to be ma'ahil what? And protect the bnei ma'ayim, the intestines that are underneath it. How do we know that from Pasuk Neyov? Shene'emar or ubasar tel bisheni. It says the Pasuk that God creates man with skin and flesh. He's dressed with skin and flesh. Uba'atzamot v'gidim tesochecheni. And as a roof, as a sukkah, like tesochecheni, above it you have atzamot and gidim, bones and ligaments. So therefore, but that was said by Adam. But who are the animals? Which is the point is, the animals' insides are a roof for what's underneath it. So therefore, it's better than a bed. Which means here you're telling me that it's a permanent oil. It's not the stamina, you know, once in a while you put your shoes underneath it, or once in a while the story goes on. No! It's a legitimate oil. It's ma'il on what's inside. And therefore, so long as you, even though it wasn't intended to be an oil, meaning for, in this case, it wasn't made by Adam, so long as you got yegrofim over there, it'll be interposed with that tuma. That's the one answer. Comes again and gives another answer. It says like this. Again, we're trying to answer the question. Hare mita yeshbo kama igrofim. The mita has a lot of igrofim. And then you tell me that's not considered an oil. Right? You can sleep under the sukkah according to Rabbi Yehuda. I'll say like this. Rabbi Yehuda le ta'ameh. The amar sukkah did not keva ba'inan. Remember, we learned on that bit. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion was a sukkah can be dirat keva. It can even be above 20 amot. 20 amot, right? Which means it's a permanent structure. Compared to what the sukkah could be, the bed is going to be considered a dirat arai, a temporary structure. And we have a rule. The sukkah oil keva. The sukkah is going to be considered a keva. We have a rule. An oil arai cannot mevatel a oil keva, which means like this. Really, I agree. If you have your igrofim, it should be an oil. And in a normal case, sleeping under the bed would be considered an oil. But this oil now of the bed is in a sukkah. Now you're dealing with oil arai, with a sukkah that's considered an oil keva. Now when you have an oil arai and an oil keva, the oil arai is not going to mevatel the oil keva. Which is under these circumstances, underneath the bed is not going to be considered an oil. Now, if the opinion would be, let's say the Hachamim, that a sukkah is an oil arai, because they say it's got to be under 20, then you'd have a problem sleeping under this. The only reason why the Buddha can get away with what he's saying is because he holds the sukkah as a keva. And therefore the keva oil overrides the temporary oil of the bed. So the Bina Kanami, really, I'll tell you, in other places, as long as you have your igrofim underneath, even though it wasn't made the shem oil, even though it wasn't made by Adam, it's mevituma, it's chotzef lufnatuma. The bed case is different because the bed case is an oil arai in a oil keva. And an oil arai does not have status when it's in an oil keva. Comes Gemara and says,
only if the sukkah's over 20?
No, so that's the hadush. Even no, because since the Yehuda says that's the nature of a sukkah, very good point, it is the nature of a sukkah, so it's considered oil keva in all situations. Oh, Gemara says, hold it. Rabbi Shimon, de'amad nameh. Rabbi Shimon also said, if you remember earlier we learned, sukkah dirat keva ba'inan. Right, he says it's got to be sukkah's got to be dirat keva. Where did he say that above? Rabbi Shimon's opinion was right. The by arba defanot, Rashi says. If you remember, we had a machloket above. How many walls you need for a sukkah? Rabbi Shimon said you need four walls. That was a proof to us that the old sukkah has to be a permanent structure. Now, by the way, this permanency is even more than the Biuda. Rabbi Yehuda says you can go above 20. Rabbi Shimon says you gotta have four walls. So he holds the sukkah's gotta be dirat keva. And what? So what? Sukkah dirat keva ba'inan. And still what? Ve'ati oil alai betil oil keva. If you remember, Rabbi Shimon was in our Mishnah. What did the first Mishnah say in the Perek with Rabbi Shimon? The Gemara quoted Rabbi Shimon by saying what? It was Rabbi Shimon that brought the story of Tobi that slept under the bed because he knew he was an Eved Hakam and he knew he wasn't Yotze, so therefore he slept under the bed. What are you talking about? You hold Rabbi Shimon that a sukkah is an oil keva. What's the proof? Because you say you need four walls. And therefore the chaura, the bed should not be a problem because it's an oil arai, like a bed oil keva. So therefore, what are you quoting me the story with Tobi that he slept under the bed? Adaba, he's Yotze, he took a spot under the bed. So comes the Gemara and says, "In yes, beha periki. Yes, there is indeed a machloket between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda on this point. More sabar ate oil arai batel oil keva, or more sabar lo ate oil arai batel oil keva. Yeah, that's the machloket. Rabbi Yehuda will say an oil keva is mevatel an oil arai, and Rabbi Shimon will say no, an oil keva is not mevatel an oil arai, and therefore the oil arai stands on its own, and therefore if you sleep under it, you're not going to be yotzei. That's subject to a machloket, which means just because you hold the sukkah the oil keva. The next step you have to understand or analyze is, does an oil arai have status in an oil keva? Rabbi Yehuda will say it doesn't. Oil keva is mevatelet. And Rabbi Shimon will say, no, it's not mevatelet. Therefore, it'll be stepped under it because it's considered an oil itself, and therefore it's not yotzeh. Very good. Amar Rabbi Shimon. Now we go back to a quote from our Mishnah. Ma'aseh b'tobi abdo. Right, there was a story with Tobi, the servant, who is Eved Kanani. Now we said that Eved Kanani is patur from mitzvot because he has the status of a lady. Okay? And ladies are patur from mitzvot, sukkah, because it's mitzvot aseh, shazeman, geramah. So Amar Rabbi Shimon ma'aseh b'tobi abdo. Okay? And then what? And Rabban Gamliel was so impressed by his servant. Right, Rabban Gamliel told the Hakamim, the Itim, Tobi Abdi, you saw my servant Tavishu Tamil Hakam, the Yodeya, he knows that Avadim are petonim from the Sukkah, that's why he slept under the Vita, right? So comes the Gemara and says, Tanya, we have a bright Amar, Rabbi Shimon, Mesihato Shel Rabban Gamliel, from the conversation of Rabban Gamliel, Lamadnu Shnei Devarim. We learned two things. Number one, Lamadnu Shnei Avadim petonim from the Sukkah. Number one, we clearly learned that Avadim are patur from the mitzvah of Sukkah. And number two, we learned that what? And if you sleep under the bed, you're not yotze. So the Gemara says, "Velema medevarav shel Rabban Gamliel." Technical question: why did the Braita say that the Mishnah wants us from the conversation? It's like a casual conversation. Why didn't he say from his words? I mean, when the Achirim were talking, they're speaking. Medevarav, what does it mean? So the Gemara says a chidush over here. Milta agav urcheka mashmana. Rabbi Shimon was teaching another chidush. By the way, ki had amar v'haber adav v'amru le amar v'haber adav amar v'amuna amar rav minayin she'afilu sihat talmidei hachamim siricha limud. How do you know that even the casual comments and conversations of the hachamim need limud, which means outside the midrash? She said, when they're learning, of course you have to analyze every single one of their words. Here, Rabban Gamliel was just having a casual conversation. Oh, you see how smart my servant Tobiah is? So he says, Mesihato, learn, even from the casual conversation, you got to learn from them. And how do you know that from the pasuk that says in Tehillim, Shneimar, Ve'alehu lo yibol. Now this pasuk over here is comparing Yirat Shamayim, person that studies Torah, he's like an etz shatul al pelgemayim. He's like a solid tree that's firmly rooted by the water. Asher piryo yitin be'ito. And since he's learning Torah, piryo yitin be'ito, he produces a beautiful peri. That's the chadushim. Then it says ve'alehu lo yibol. Even his leaves do not wither. And the leaves are the secondary. They're not a part of the tree. And still, what does David HaMelech say? Even alehu lo yibol. That's even the sihat tchudin of Tamidi HaChamim lo yibol. They don't wither. Meaning, there's value even in the alim. Even in the, forget about the peri. The peri for sure there's value even in the leaves. Okay, exactly. Comes the next mishnah. Hasomek sukato. Well, actually, let's just catch up. Let's read the Rashi's over here. Okay, let's just start reading from the top. Bekevet ha'teom kluah b'safek kevet diyesh kama egrofim min ha'chabalim lekarka. Okay, you have from the end of the bed to the ground kama chabalim lo'agim ha'yinu alma oil arai lav oilu. Okay, you see that from the fact that this is oil arai, obviously is not an oil, because the Yehuda said they used to sleep under the bed. Since the bed is made to sleep on top, that's what the Gemara says. I mean, it was not considered oil. They stick their heads underneath the animal's belly in order to protect themselves from the elements. And so the bed also, you put your shoes under the bed. What's considered the bed of Tamidei Chachamim? The Gemara Bavatra says, "Kol she'en tachtea ela min alayim." Right? No. So a bed of a Tamidei Chachamim is all they store underneath it is what? Beds. Shel ba'al habayit bimot hachama v'sandalim bimot hageshamim shenotnim sham kishu ba'al lishkav v'lishan choletz min alav v'notan tachat mitato.
You don't want to stick other things underneath his bed, the Tamid Hakam, because he's going to bring people to his room. He's going to start putting personal things underneath. It's going to bring people in there. So the Tamid Hakam only puts his shoes. At least Rashi just telling you why it chose shoes as opposed to other items. Okay. Gag shidrash the Maginalim, the roof of the Shidra protects over the innards of the animal. The sochecheni, that's what Iyov said. Alma schach karila, right? It's called schach, called the roof. Ivayet emal Rabbi Yehuda mita oily. Really, I'll tell you, the mita is an oil. Elahayim tamad eshadi mishum the sukkah oil kevahu, because the sukkah according to Rabbi Yehuda is an oil kevah. Velo ati arai umbatel keva lasir sheva sukkah mikan. So the Gemara says, "Behar Rabbi Shimon de Amar Nami sukkah keva." How do we know that the Rabbi Shimon holds the sukkah has to be keva? The ba'e arba defanot, because he held above that you have to have four walls. Ve'aminim beperek kamar Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Shimon v'Rabban Gamliel v'Rabbi Elazar v'Achareim kolihu svinut sukkah tirat keva ba'ein. Remember, we learned the different shitot, all said different ramifications showing that sukkah needs to be keva. Ve'kamar b'matnitin nefi darkenu lamad v'yashen ta'at amita lo yatsa yidei chavato. But Rabbi Shimon is the one that said if you slept under the bed, lo yatsa. Why not? It's oil keva, and oil keva we should mevatel the oil arai. That's casual talk. Milta hatta agav urhad azil ashmein and shnei devarim shlamadnu holech b'shalom b'dvar shetuchal leavin bo davar chidush. Diamat b'dvarav. If he would have said b'dvarav shel Rabbi Shimon shel Rabbi Gamliel, lo shemeinah minish te sihat chonin sidichal iten lev lomdea. I would not think that you have to pay attention to casual talk. I would say from the limud. If you pay attention, understand it good, you'll also come out with the Devrei Torah from it. And also it's coming out was to teach it to the Talmidim. So comes the next Mishnah and says, Hasomek sukato bekar'e hamita keshera. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im ena yichola la'amod b'fnei atzma pesula. So let's get the Mishnah. Case. Literally, you're supporting your sukkah on kareya mita, on the bed, which means you have a bed. The bed has three walls over here, okay, and the walls go up, let's say, the tefahim and all that, and you have your mattress inside. These are the type of beds that had walls, okay? So you're putting your schach namash on the roof of the bed. So you're relying your sukkah on the bed itself. Hasomek sukato Bekar'e hamita. That she says mita shema. There's walls. He's like a canopy bed. You have walls, you know, one center wall in the back, and you have two side walls, and then the it's opened after you enter, and underneath it you have yischak on top of you. Okay, picture number yudalit. Okay, so comes the Gemara and says that is indeed kishera. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Im ena yichoda la'amud b'fnei atzma pesula." If the sukkah is not able to stand on its own, meaning you have to be able to move away the bed, and the schach is able to still stand, then it's kishera. But if the bed is supporting the schach itself, it's pesula. Meaning, how would you do that? So let's say you would put poles. For example, just to give you an example, what you're going to see, give me this book over here. Right? If you look at in the picture, Ma'or Mevo'ar, just to give you an idea, if you look at picture 133, so you see where you have four poles, mm-hmm. right, around the bed, right. And therefore the bed is just in between the poles. So if you move the bed away, your schach is still going to stand, but your bed is serving you as walls. Mm-hmm. Okay, so then the Biudah says it's okay, but if the bed itself is the sukkah, like the picture number 132, where if you move the bed away, your schach is going to fall, so then the Biudah says it is a problem. Okay, so that's the mahlokah. Right, in the Biudah's case, the bed serving as walls, not as support of the schach. Very good. So comes the Gemara and analyzes now. What's the reason of the Biudah when he says that a sukkah that's supported by the bed is pasul? Why should that be? So comes the Gemara and says, Peligi ba Rabbi Zera Rabbi Abba bar Mammal. Look at in what the Sifra of Rabbi Yehudah is. Had amar mepene she'en la keva. Because bottom line, it has no keva, meaning stability, in the sense that what? It's constantly moved from place to place. Which means that the bed is a movable bed. And therefore, it's not considered a dirat keva. Now, the Biudah held, the Shita told the sukkah has to be dirat keva. Now, what do you mean? The Biudah holds that let's say you make a sukkah on a boat. You make it 20 amot high. No problem. Even though the boat is always moving, the difference is, but your floor is the same floor. Even on an animal, you made a sukkah on a camel, right? Bottom line, even though the camel's moving, but the floor of your sukkah doesn't move. Here, the sukkah moves. Now the floor is a different floor. So therefore, that's not considered keva. Keva means it's in the same place. Even though the whole sukkah structure moves, so long as the floor is moving with it, that's keva. Here, it's not considered keva. Because probably the bed can move. Every time you move the bed a couple of inches, you have a new floor underneath it. Therefore, it's not good. That's one reason why the Biudah says it is pasul. Another reason, v'had amar, mepeneh she'ma'amida b'davar ha'mekabel tum'ah. The bed itself is mekabel tum'ah. Because the bed is a keli. Now we're learning a new law. Just like schach cannot be mekabel tum'ah, so too what the schach is supported by also cannot be mekabel tum'ah. And therefore the bed is mekabel tum'ah. So you're putting your schach on something, it's like putting schach on metal spits to support it. Therefore there's the bed. And therefore you're being ma'amid schach b'davar mekabel tum'ah. Now, so that's the opinion. Look at Rashi, shema'amida. Let's read the Rashi first. The she'en la keva shebetaltelet ayedem ita. Right, the sukkah moves. The Rebbe Yehuda l'tamei davar sukkah dirat keva ba'ina. The Rebbe Yehuda l'tamei holds that the sukkah has to be dirat keva. Next answer shema'amida ve'af al pi shelo lamadu psul ela l'schach. Now even though davar mekabel tum'ah was only a psul said by schach, so what do you tell me now? A new chiddush by ma'amid. Ho'il fe'ikaro shel schach elu ma'amidin havi ki'ilu sikech bedavar ha'mekabel tum'ah. And she's giving you the sevara. Since the schach is being supported by a davar ha'mekabel tum'ah, it's as if you use schach pasul for your sukkah. That's the sevara in ma'amid, according to Rashi. It's since the schach itself is being supported by, it says mekabel tumah, it's as if the schach itself is mekabel tumah itself. Now, some want to say that according to Rashi, it sounds like it's deoraita. It's like you being mesakech bedavar hamekabel tumah. They want to say the psul of ma'amid indeed can be deoraita. Others want to say that, other Rishonim want to say the psul over is a gezerah.
that we're concerned that if we let you be ma'amid with the davar mekabel tumah, you might come to use schach that is mekabel tumah. So it's a great machloket in the Rishonim how to learn the psul of ma'amid. Is it pshat that it's like you had schach pasul, or the pshat that if we let you use a ma'amid, you might come to use kisra schach pasul? Comes the Gemara and says, my benai, what's the nafkamina between the two reasons? Again, let's review quickly. What are the two reasons? Reason number one, because it's movable. Right. So it doesn't have dirat keva. Reason number two, because it's a ma'amid. What's the nafkamina? Right, let's say a guy, he has his bed, right? But around the bed, he put iron metal posts around the bed, like we saw in the picture.
130 over here.
Yeah. And in the big book, in the Amaot book, we saw the picture number one. 133. That would be a simple example. You went around your bed, you put iron posts, and then you put schach on the posts. So according to the opinion that says what? According to the opinion that says the sukkah is pasul because it's not keva. This is keva. Can't move it. You just thrust these things in the... Now even though your schach is on metal, according to the first opinion, he doesn't care if it's on metal. Right. He doesn't care about ma'amid. But according to the second opinion that says the problem is ma'amid, there's also going to be a problem. Because bottom line, I don't care if it's not on the bed. It's resting on the metal post. So the Gemara says, Kigon chinaat shepudim shebazir kechaleim. Lemant abal lefi she'en la keva, yesh la keva. According to the opinion that said the problem was no keva, this says keva. Uman de amar. Mepnesh ma'amidah b'davar mekabel tum'ah. Harei ma'amidah b'davar mekabel tum'ah. He's still being ma'amid b'davar mekabel tum'ah. That's going to be the nafkamina. Okay? Last point. Abaye Amar, Abaye Kazon says, Lo Shanu Ela Samach. This is only talking about where you were somech the schach itself on the bed itself. That's why it's going to be, the Rabbi Yehuda is going to say, it's pasul. Avasikech al gabe amita. But if you were misakech above the mita, keshira. That's the case where you put the four pegs around and you're just using the bed as walls. Mm-hmm. Okay? Which is you took wooden pegs that are not mekabel tumah, you put the schach on them, right. And now your bed is inside, under, so it's serving as walls. Now the walls can be mekabel tumah. There's no way that says the walls cannot be mekabel tumah. Just don't put the schach on it. So therefore that will be okay. So again, avasikech al gabe hamita, it's above the bed, right? So then even if you're going to say it's okay, by tama. In this case, so it's keva because you can't move the bed. The poles are what's holding the sukkah. There's no keva. In this case, it's not keva because it's not on the bed. It's on the poles. So look at Rashi. You didn't rely the schach on the bedpost itself. You put it on. Yitedot is poles that are coming out on the side. Abal kod of ner sukkah enan ela mitot, which means the walls of the sukkah are actually the bed. Mishlosha stadim. Abal oke lo pasir Rabbi Yehuda da lo gamrina psul minel sukkah el sikuch. The mekabel tumah is only a din in schach and ma'amid of schach, but not in walls. Vezelo aba velo ma'amidim bepsulim v'olgan keva nam yesh keva lesikuk. So it's not a problem of ma'amid, it's not a problem of keva. Because bottom line, the bed is there and the schach is firmly posted. Therefore, you have no problem. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen. Amen. Amen.